Good afternoon and welcome back, August 31st, episode number 11. It is Brian, John, and Pete bringing this episode to you. And you know what, guys? We're going to get real here. We're going to start off, we're going to get real.
Really real. Quick. As Kevin Gates likes to say.
Yeah, really, really real. We're going to start off, Colin Kaepernick. If you've, unless you've lived under a rock, you haven't heard about this. Cap sat during the anthem because of black oppression in America. It's 2016, and I believe our president is black. Is he not?
That's correct.
So
I do have a retort, though. I can see where your side is going here already.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the people that are saying this is the most American way to protest, because technically it is. He's using his God-given rights and his constitutional rights to do so non-violently and in a safe manner. He is also throwing a huge, huge black people are oppressed out there, which is a very sticky, very tough situation for us white suburban folk to talk about. But John, what do you think?
One, I don't think it's the most American way to protest. It is an American way to protest.
Good point.
It's just like Voltaire said. I may not, and I'm roughly paraphrasing here, I may not always agree with someone's perspective, but I will fight to the death his right to express it. Again, rough paraphrase. But the fact that he felt that this was how he could express his opinions on this topic, I have to defend. Not necessarily the manner, but the fact that he's allowed to express himself this way. Granted, that being said, it is a huge slap in the face to the men and women who have sacrificed far more than you or I or any of us have for the rights and liberties that Colin Kaepernick is himself, you know, using to express his views. And there's something when I see the flag, and I know Brian and Pete, you guys feel very similar ways. That's far more than just, you know, the current social context of America now. That's the whole history of this country.
Yep.
And yes, it's been a very flawed nation. It was, you know, founded on, you know, sometimes on some level of oppression. And it continues to exhibit some of those characters today, but that doesn't mean that it itself is always wrong or completely bad, and that we can just throw out so many of the good qualities that have made the United States one of the most important, if not the most important, nation in the history of the world for its propagation of democratic and, you know, liberal ideas. And I don't think you can throw out that whole history just by the current social context. So I don't agree with how Colin Kaepernick expressed himself, but he did have the right to do so.
Well, with regards to the flag, there was like three schools of thought on when he did. There was the side where that Tony Stewart took, which is, of course, I'm sure Tony Stewart has an unbiased opinion
on Tony Stewart.
Blacks in America, I'm sure. But he, you know, Tony Stewart just called him an idiot, essentially. And then there's the middle, who said they appreciate what he did, but they didn't like that he did it during the national anthem, which is what Richard Sherman took and Jerry Rice did as well. Then there's the side where, say, they stand with him, people like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Jim Brown, people who have stood back in the 60s during the Cleveland summit, who actually, you know, took similar actions to stand up against black oppression in America. And so, but I think one issue with this is I support Colin Kaepernick's views and what he wants to do, but in my opinion, it should have been, if it was someone different, I feel like people would have felt differently, because to me, Colin Kaepernick, even before this, came off as kind of a douchebag.
So yeah, you're saying that his previous reputation is sort of skewing how people are viewing
him. Yeah, people do not, fans of the NFL did not view him in a positive light as a very likable guy beforehand, which I think has also skewed the view of what he just recently has done.
So say it's someone like Drew Brees or Adrian Peterson, or someone who's viewed a little bit more positively.
Well, the Adrian Peterson has arrested him. Drew Brees is white. What about Cam Newton?
Cam Newton, exactly. If it's Cam Newton, do people view this move differently than they do for Kaepernick?
I think they do. And I also think one thing that Rodney Harrison said that really brought up a good point is that Rodney Harrison originally came out and said Colin Kaepernick's not black. He doesn't understand the injustices we've felt. But then he later apologized for it because, and then he said, you know, I stand for what he stands for. And then his last tweet was that, also, I didn't know he was mixed.
Yeah, he's like, half black.
Wait, like it was an issue. Like, Colin Kaepernick's giving a voice to people who don't have a voice. Doesn't matter if he was black or completely black or a different race. I mean, he's standing for what he believes in. So I don't see
that
as an issue.
What I saw this as originally is a guy that is in danger of not making a roster, trying to make a name, trying to get back in the news. I mean, obviously, he has a reason to stand up for what he does. But I think there was the brought up of how he's half black. And I'm pretty sure he was adopted by a white family.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
But can he really say he's faced any oppression in his life? He was adopted. He didn't have to go through the struggle that other kids had to that weren't adopted. He now plays a children's game for $110 million. I get what he was doing is bigger picture, and it's not really about him. But it's really questionable timing. Week 3 of the preseason, right as teams are about to make their cuts. I'm not going to go out on a limb and claim that this was a publicity stunt, but I mean, you're going to lead a horse to water and he's going to drink, right?
And I think it's interesting what the NFL and Roger Goodell are going to do about what Kaepernick did, because when in the NBA, when Derrick Rose and LeBron James wore the I Can't Breathe shirts, Adam Silver let him do it, didn't find him, didn't do anything. And it'll be interesting to see if Roger Goodell, an absolute buffoon, what he'll do.
It's either going to be like a season-long suspension or like a slap on the wrist and say, don't do it again. There's no in-between with Goodell.
I'm not going to say Kaepernick hasn't faced his fair share of challenges. I guarantee that he has. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get...
Right, but so have we all.
Yes, but I'm sure...
To different extents, I'm sure, but...
Absolutely. He's certainly facing new challenges as, you know, someone who's been adopted that comes with its own, you know, challenges going through the foster care system. I guarantee he's faced some sort of challenges being mixed in how people have treated him. So I'm not going to say that he hasn't faced it all, because I think that would be unfair. I will say that I am glad that Colin Kaepernick stood up for this, because his points are very valid and a lot of things need to change in America in 2016. Pete, you also brought up the point of why does it matter, you know, whether he's mixed, black, white, whatever.
Yeah, there's like the stereotype that needs to be like a black man from like a rough neighborhood coming up and then supporting his views from like personal experience. But it doesn't have to be necessarily.
Right.
I agree. I think that if you're standing up for the right cause, it doesn't matter what race you are, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it really doesn't have to be from personal experience to stand up for the right thing. And if we're going to make serious change on some of these issues moving forward in this country, we have to accept the fact that people from all different backgrounds can collaborate to make change. It doesn't have to be just the people who have been most affected by them.
And that's the only way it can create change.
Exactly.
It's not a black or a white problem. It's an American problem is what people have to start looking at as. So I get what you guys are saying.
Which is why it is fitting that he did it for the national anthem.
It makes sense. I mean, I understand his whole thing. Was it disrespectful? Yeah, absolutely.
But it sends a message that, you know, it got people who are not football fans talking about an issue that needs to be talked about.
That's correct.
Which is it accomplished what he wanted. Tried
to do. Agreed. And it was nonviolent, which I think is the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
But speaking of violence.
Yeah, so perfect segue into our next topic. We're going to keep it real again. Dwayne Wade's cousin, Nakia Aldridge, was shot and killed in Chicago on August
26th. Condolences to the Aldridge family and the Wade family.
Yep. On August 26th, Dwayne Wade tweeted, "My cousin was killed today in Chicago, another act of senseless gun violence. Four kids lost their mom for no reason. Unreal. Enough is enough." This comes a day after ESPN hosted a town hall in a YMCA on the south side of Chicago talking about gun violence, where Dwayne Wade himself actually spoke. I have a ton of statistics that I'll get to in a minute, but I just want to get immediate reaction. John, I'll start with you.
One, and I'm going to criticize even us on this. Can we please stop referring to her as Dwayne Wade's cousin?
Agreed.
Because this is Nakia Aldridge. She's a mother of four from Chicago who's a victim of senseless violence on the way to register her children for the upcoming school year. I have been appalled, and really, ashamed of how the media has literally just portrayed her as Dwayne Wade's cousin.
It's like how they did it to Deion Wade's brother, who got murdered earlier this year.
Exactly.
Or Ed Reed's brother.
And the fact that this only, the fact that the violence in Chicago only gets coverage because it's related to Dwayne Wade is infuriating. Because there are so many victims out there, and there's so much senseless violence that has gone unacknowledged or just simply relegated to statistics.
She just would have been a statistic if she wasn't related to Dwayne Wade.
Exactly. And that's shameful. Shame on Chicago. Shame on the media. Shame on all of us who let that perpetuate, because it's absurd. And we have to stop it, because if you can only, if your pain and your suffering can only be recognized by the fact that you're related to a celebrity or you're, you know, a member of a celebrity's family, what is that saying about the rest of us? You know, what is that saying about the everyday person, that their suffering doesn't matter? Which is absurd. If we're, again, if we're really going to solve some of these issues, or at least alleviate a lot of them, we have to change the way we're viewing these topics. And it starts here.
Yeah, so I think you put it perfectly. I mean, we have a group message where we talk about topics for the upcoming week. And we had a pretty lengthy discussion about this, whether we should include it or not. And last minute we decided that we were going to, because we think it's important to talk about. You hit the nail on the head that it's just, it's, if she wasn't Dwayne Wade's cousin, she'd just be a number. It would just be 9 dead, 50 total shot across Chicago over the weekend. A typical headline that we're all used to.
67 and 10 dead is what I saw.
That could be updated numbers. But what I was saying anyways is this is just a far too common headline that we're all way too accustomed to now, living in the area and reading the local news.
And I think two people talking about it are the least, or no, one is the least equipped to talk about it, and one is a hypocrite for talking about it. The least equipped to talk about it is Donald Trump, whose tweet came out saying Dwayne Wade's cousin was just shot, killed, walking her baby in Chicago. Just what I've been saying, African Americans will, in all caps, vote Trump, which is the most absurd thing I've ever seen, considering he didn't offer his condolences to the Wade family. He literally just thought, what is this doing for me? How will I capitalize this? I mean, to get the minority vote, which
that's
is
his whole campaign. So you're used to it now. Not that it's right, but that's just what he's been doing the whole time.
And then the second person being Spike Lee coming on and commenting about the Trump tweets. But at the same time, Spike Lee created the movie Chi-Raq, which was openly criticized by people like Chance the Rapper, who has been working in Chicago and working with youth on the South Side. And Chance said that Spike Lee's movie made light of the violence in Chicago. So I don't think Spike Lee's as well suited to speak about this issue either.
I don't think anyone is. Unless you deal with it firsthand, you're not.
Yeah, I mean,
really
like, Chance should be on those.
We're not even equipped or capable of talking about it properly. But we still get the fact that over 2,200 people have already been shot this year, and it's just the end of August. We still have a few months left in the year. And this is going to be the deadliest and the highest shooting total in Chicago ever, I believe.
Yeah.
It was also the deadliest month in Chicago history since October of 1997.
Yep.
So Chicago is racking up numbers in a very, very bad way. But I pose this question to you guys, and I don't know if you have an answer. I don't assume that you do. I don't assume that anyone has an answer. But really, what is it going to take for someone, or for anyone, for all of us, to address this issue more than just a headline? Is it going to take someone, you know, a famous athlete, celebrity, herself or himself, getting killed by the violence to finally address it? What is it finally going to take? Because it seems like it's never enough.
I mean, there's no quick fix, but it starts with getting more funding towards the schools, so kids are motivated to stay within the CPS schools that many of the kids from the South Side have to go to. And Bruce Rauner is doing the exact opposite of that. But
I'm gonna disagree with you completely there. It starts at home with the families. People actually have to be a family and teach each other that the gang life isn't the way to go. That you actually have a family that cares and loves you. And you can be there instead of looking for that family feel and that protected lifestyle in a gang. So I agree that schools need more money and they need to do more, but we live in the most broken ass backwards state in the country pretty much, with no budget, no nothing. And the money's just not going to be there, especially for rundown CPS schools, as sad as it is to say. So what we need first is for parents to take accountability and responsibility and start doing it. And also for people to start realizing that the gangs are the problem. 85% of the crime, 85% of the shootings this year in Chicago are gang related. That's absurd. And I get that there's an issue now because certain schools are shutting down, so gangs have to cross over into each other's territory and different things like that. But there again, it all starts at home, and you have to bring up a household that is capable of teaching children not to do this. Well, it's hard.
It's a combination of the two.
Yes, but where you're going to spend more of your time at home than you are at school.
I mean, Pete, you said it best. It's a complicated issue, and I agree that it's actually a combination of the two. I think it starts with the ideals that individuals are brought up with. It starts with, you know, what they perceive as right or wrong. And it also starts with, as both of you mentioned, the communities that people come up with. People turn to gangs, as has been proven through different, you know, psychological studies. People turn to gangs for the companionship and for feeling like part of a community. And so if you can establish both, you know, improved education and improved community, regardless of what it is. I mean, we're a sports podcast here. That's primarily what we talk about. You know, whether it's through sports teams or whether it's through stronger families or stronger community groups, whatever it is, that's what's going to keep kids out of gangs and hopefully start curbing some of this violence that we see. Again, I'm not a gang expert. I haven't lived through these circumstances, so I'm not qualified to speak on this. But what I can offer, I think, on behalf of all of us, is that as members of the Chicago community, the podcast would certainly like to help improve this community. So whatever we can do, through, even though we're unqualified, whatever we think we can do to help, I think we should.
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought up a good point about athletics, because Phillips is a hell of a story. First ever Chicago public school to win a state football championship, and they're going to be good again. So if we can get, you know, even if it's just for football season, if we can get kids to go to practice every day and learn the game and do something like that, we're taking a step in the right direction.
And I think one of the most appalling things about this situation, going back to Nikki Aldridge, was that both men who were charged in her murder were on probation for previous gun charges.
Right.
Which is absurd. They still, I mean, the game, like, you obviously can still get access to a gun. Like, gun laws aren't going to do anything.
Right. For that. I was going to say gun control is not, it's a very sticky situation. Yeah,
incredibly sticky issue.
What I'm going to say is that drugs are illegal. Alcohol was at one point illegal. There are so many different things that are illegal, but people still get them. And just by putting a law on it is not going to stop it.
No, not necessarily. And again, it just highlights the complicated, you know, nature of a lot of these issues, that there's so many things that are tied together. So you have to start attacking, you know, one or two and start sort of peeling back the layers of the web. And again, we can't solve it all in a day. We can't solve it by ourselves. It takes
communal effort. But, all right, staying in the Chicago area, the University of Chicago announced that it will no longer supply safe zones to its students. Thank God. College is a place you go to learn differing opinions and to expand your view. It is not a place to go to be coddled because you're hurt, in air quotes, by someone else's viewpoint. Grow up, sack up, and learn something, for the love of God. Just because you think your way is the proper way or the best way does not mean it's correct. You can be swayed. I know I have been. And this is what you're going to college for. You can't be coddled. You can't be sheltered by mom and dad all your life. You've got to actually go out in the world, experience things, and create your own opinions. Pete, I'm going to start with you because I've gone to John the last two. What do you think about them eliminating safe zones?
Yeah, well, I think, people saying that, people have ignorant opinions and are hurtful. Well, tell that person, how ignorant they are and how stupid they are for having that type of opinion. If you just have a safe zone where you're just talking to preaching to the choir, where everyone shares your same view, and those people who don't share your view are off in their own discussion talking about it, it just turns into what the politics of today are. Just there's leftists and there's rightists. And no one thinks that they're wrong.
No one tries to understand the other side. That's the biggest problem. John?
You guys touched on it. This is my biggest issue that I have with safe zones and trigger warnings and this kind of stuff, is that with these things, there is implicitly the assumption that just because someone expresses an opinion that's different than yours, it's a direct attack on you. And that people have taken these things so personally, either as part of their personal brand or how they identify themselves, in such a strict manner that anything that's different, any sort of view, opinion, whatever it may be, is perceived as a personal attack. The fact that it's called a safe space, when you think of the word safe, that's implying safe from harm,
yeah.
Safe from being attacked, safe from, you know, harassment, whatever it is. And that's not necessarily the case all the time. I will say, yes, there are a lot of ignorant opinions out there. There are a lot of people who need to be put in their place. But that's what an educational environment like college is for, to have informed discussions, to have educated opinions, to make logical, rational arguments, and to come up with practical solutions to these issues, not to yell at each other, not to come up with, you know, just arguments that aren't backed up, that are just built on, you know, anger and angry rhetoric. This is what an educational environment is for, is to cultivate minds to have educated discussions. And I'm glad that University of Chicago, being the very strong institution that it is, recognizing the need for, you know, more educated discussion, was willing to go out on a limb and do this. Because, you know, in 2016 America, this is sort of risky. They're going to lose some top students from applying to their school just because of this. But I think it's the right move, and I think a lot of other schools need to follow.
And those students don't deserve to go there. If they can't accept that, they don't deserve to go there. But I saw a tweet that you reminded me of. It was about Kaepernick, and it was five or six angry people tweeting and saying the N-word in the tweet, and someone compiled them all together and said, I'm just going to leave this here to people who say there isn't racism in America. Well, one, obviously there's going to be racism, no matter what. You can rid that out, but it's going to take a lot longer than the time we have. But two, six total people on Twitter that are hard asses behind their computer screen do not represent 310 million Americans' views. So often, people are just so quick to jump to the conclusion that, oh, this guy is a white Southern Republican, and he said a racist phrase, so he and all the white Southern Republicans are racist, or this Northeastern female or whoever said this about Donald Trump, so all the liberals are like that now. So quickly people are to jump to conclusions that, and they don't realize that just a few people don't represent the whole.
Yeah, this country certainly has a problem with making generalizations and making them in an accusatory manner. So if, you know, you're linked at all to, you know, a belief or a point of view that's even semi, you know, related to, you know, maybe a controversial figure such as Donald Trump or, you know, such as Bernie Sanders, you're immediately branded as the closest ally of that person when really, again, people continue to ignore the fact that there's so much middle ground between the left and the right. And the fact that we're trying to generalize everyone into one or the other on the extremes is why we're not being able to come up with some solutions, practical solutions, to a lot of the issues that our culture is facing.
And those are just the easy solutions that TV can come up with, that media can come up with, that people can just latch on to and be like, oh, Bernie Sanders is a socialist. You know, this person is a racist. But, I mean, for the safe spaces, I'll end with this. Once you get a discussion and say there's a, you have a informed discussion with someone who has a differing opinion on yours, you may not agree with it, but you understand where that person is coming from, and you'll gain an awareness on how to make an argument to that person for your case, because you know where they're coming from at this point. And if you don't, you have no idea why this person holds these type of views. And then you're just making your own assumptions, creating some solution that doesn't really apply or appeal to the other side. So, and you know, in this case, it just gets people hurt. And speaking of people getting hurt,
another unbelievable segue. Wow.
Coming in hot.
On today.
He's got some great segues today.
before we segue into that, all I'm going to say is, like our favorite podcast, Pardon My Take, says, embrace debate. Just embrace it, you know? Understand someone. Don't completely shut them off because they automatically, or they say something that you don't agree with. Learn about it. But yeah, people getting hurt. Tony Romo, again, broken bone in his back, out 6 to 10 weeks. And today, Teddy Bridgewater, torn ACL, dislocated knee. He is done for the year. The NFC North is wide open, folks. Well, wide open.
My prediction.
No, it's not. The Packers have this locked up, first of all.
My prediction of a Bills-Vikings Super Bowl this year has taken a severe hit because Teddy Bridgewater will not be leading the men in purple.
You know who's out there still? Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel. Bring Johnny football to the North. But you got to feel for Teddy because this was the Vikings' year. And while Teddy wasn't necessarily going to be the dynamic game changer carrying the team, he certainly was going to be a part of it. And I think much in the style of Kyle Orton being a game manager, you know, not necessarily winning games, but certainly not losing games. And that's the way that I think, you know, Zimmer and the Vikings organization wanted Teddy to lead this team. I feel for Teddy and the Vikings fan base. I also feel for Tony Romo because this guy has probably the most reconstructed collarbone, back, spine of anyone currently playing.
Well, okay, and you got to feel bad for Adrian Peterson too because this is for the first time he's going to come into a season with a well-equipped offense that didn't completely depend on him to carry the load.
Well, now, what about the Brett Favre year?
Okay, this is in the past, what, 5 years, I'm saying?
Right. So in recent.
Adrian Peterson is a, what, 30-year-old running back?
Yeah.
With tons of miles on him. And he's kept it up. He's kept production up, but, like, good for him. But he's going to have a lot to carry this year for the Vikings if they want to nearly compete with my Packers.
Yeah, I thought the Vikings had the Packers this year based on talent alone. You can never count the Packers out just because of fucking Aaron Rodgers, who mm-hmm. I despise.
Mm-hmm.
But with Teddy Bridgewater going down, it's up to Jay and the boys to get it together, and it does not look like that's happening anytime soon. They've been miserable this preseason. But, again, you feel bad for Romo. It's Dak. It's time for some Dak. Let's see what he can do. I'm excited to see him. I think the NFC East was pretty much over to begin with for the Cowboys, but now it's definitely out of the picture. If you're the Cowboys, do you shut down Romo for the year once you realize you're out of it in week 8 or 9?
I think, and Merrill Hodge put this the other day on ESPN, I think if you're Romo, you think about shutting it down, and not just for the season, but permanently. Because the number of injuries this guy has, and not necessarily like ACLs or
skeletal injuries.
The back is nothing to screw around with. The back surgeries themselves are, you know, pretty risky, relatively uncommon. Doctors don't like to do them. But the fact that he's had, you know, a few of these different type of core skeletal injuries, it doesn't look great for Tony Romo moving forward. And he's not young, guys. I mean,
he's 36.
Yeah, this is a 36-year-old Tony Romo. And fortunately for Jerry and the boys, I think Dak Prescott actually is going to have a good year. I have good feelings about Dak Prescott.
I mean, that rookie quarterback, running back, receiver, or combo of Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott.
You have the potential for something special moving forward if they can, you know, stay healthy.
It's a big task for a pair of rookies, especially a quarterback from Mississippi State. Who didn't really... He played in the SEC, so it's tough, but he didn't really get the kind of exposure you'd want. He didn't play in as many big games as you thought he would. The Ole Miss, Mississippi State 1-2 game is probably the biggest one he played in, and that is what it is. So it'll be interesting to see how Dak works.
So the Cowboys have their default replacement. Who do the Vikings bring in? Because I have a solution, and I think it would be great not only for the storylines of the NFC North, but for Bachelorette fans. I think the Vikings bring in Rodgers' brother, Jordan Rodgers, to start a family rivalry to dominate the NFC North.
I thought you were going to say Rex Grossman, who's a free agent currently.
Wait, they already hate each other.
They already hate each other. So now pit them against one another in a quest for the playoffs and a Super Bowl. What's better TV than that? I don't know.
I don't know, John. Yeah, I can't tell you.
That's a tough one. I would assume they would not go to a guy that has not played football in years, but you never know. It is the Minnesota Vikings.
Sticking with the drama, I think we got a pretty good top five this week.
We have a great top five this week. It is sports movies, and Pete was very, very, very confident in his list, so we will let him start. Top five movies, sports movies.
Leadoff spot. All right, so I bent the rules a bit here. My top five sports movies / TV shows. So, number five, I have the Disney classic Luck of the Irish.
Okay.
That is a great one.
As an Irishman and a former basketball player, I relate to that. Number four, I have the extremely goofy movie.
Okay.
Wow.
Little X Games.
Wow. Right?
Personal favorite. My personal opinion is that Goofy Movie is my the greatest Disney movie of all time.
Wow. Hot take.
I know I'm wrong. I absolutely know I'm wrong, but that's
right
my opinion.
Wrong here, Pete. This is, all right. It's just hot.
Number three, I have Eastbound and Down, the whole series.
That's a great call.
Kenny Powers is the most legendary baseball pitcher ever on television. Throws heat on pure talent.
Kenny Powers,
you're fucking out. I'm fucking
yeah, me. Absolutely. All right, and then number two, Waterboy / Happy Gilmore.
Okay, you can rope him into one.
Yeah,
in the very far past of good Adam Sandler movies.
Feels like forever ago.
It was forever ago.
And number one, the basketball episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Wow. That's a classic one. I would not have thought of that, but I'm glad you brought it back.
I actually enjoyed the episode so much, I bought a Carlton Banks Bel-Air Academy jersey.
The more
Why
you know.
Did you wear it tonight?
To be honest, I lost it. I have no idea where it is.
Okay. So now I know what to get for Christmas.
Yeah. Thank
Brian,
you. Brian. In advance.
Let's go to yours.
All right. Top five sports movies. Number five. It's almost football season, so Rudy is always on there. I'm sure you had it, John.
I do have it at my number five as well.
All right. Number four, I was very split, but I'm going to make a last-minute decision and go Dodgeball.
Interesting.
Just a classic sports film. Peter LaFleur is a great comeback story. Everyone's an average Joe at heart. Number three, Major League.
Oh,
my favorite baseball
the
movie.
Cubs fan picks Major League.
My favorite baseball movie. Even the second one was pretty good. I don't acknowledge that there wasn't a third one, right? I don't acknowledge that there was.
There wasn't a third Godfather either.
Right. Number two, my favorite basketball movie, Coach Carter.
Oh, okay.
Absolute
I thought you were
classic.
Say
I've actually never seen that movie.
Rich what?
Ridden.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh,
how?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right, well, you're going to have to watch it. And then number one, it's my favorite movie of all time. I can quote the whole thing, Remember the Titans.
That's an awesome list. We have a few overlaps there. I also had Rudy at number five, and I Remember the Titans at number two.
Typical Notre Dame
on my
fan.
List. But I would, since Brian's already taken a few of mine, I want to add another one. The Disney movie, basketball movie, Full Court Miracle, about your Philadelphia Jewish school kids, led by Lamont Carr, Virginia basketball legend. This is my 94-year-old grandmother's favorite movie, and we watch it once a year, and it is truly one of my favorite nights of the year. It is an awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, look it up now. Number four, I have a baseball movie that gets a little bit less love, but still a classic. The Rookie with Dennis Quaid.
That's a good one.
Great. It has a great soundtrack as well, but it's from 2001, so I think it's been overshadowed a little bit by some other movies that come out, but that's a great movie as well. Number three, Miracle. The 1980 Miracle on Ice.
I thought about that one. Thought about it.
You having some trouble there, Brian, with your voice?
Yeah. One of the most American movies you can possibly watch. Herb Brooks, just that whole American team, and truly the extent of that underdog story is incredible. If you haven't seen it, check it out now. Number two, again, I Remember the Titans. And number one, I'm surprised neither one of you said it, The Sandlot.
Ooh. That is a really good movie.
I was surprised no one else had it on there. It is my favorite movie. Favorite sports movie, at least.
I love The Sandlot. I really do. I won't say I forgot it.
I kind of also forgot it. I haven't seen it in like 10 years.
I watched it 3 times this summer. That's when we
gotta go back and watch.
But honorable mention to every single Air Bud movie.
Yeah,
that absolutely. We neglected to mention. Whenever I think of an Air Bud movie, the main character, the owner of Air Bud, is just the kid I imagine when I think of the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Just that parted in the middle haircut, like long kind of on top.
Bowl, yep. Yeah.
And
well, you represented an era more than
yeah, you. Absolutely. And when it, for Air Bud, I just want one time, I want to see a realistic movie from Air Bud where they actually show the like the logistics of how this dog plays sports. And like when it played football, I want some guy to hit Air Bud so hard, it like pops his hip out. Air Bud has to go to the hospital and maybe doesn't make it, has to get put down. Then this guy, the rest of the movie is showing this guy's struggle in the rest of his life that he has to deal with killing this dog. That's a real story.
Pete, this is such a grim 2016 dude, version of Air Bud that dude, it makes me...
The audience...
It makes me want the 90s back.
The demographic for Air Bud has grown up.
So we now need to show them a real handle the pain?
Show them a real movie. Show us a real movie. It's like all of our cartoons have grown up. Our demographic has grown up for our cartoons, and they've revamped them and put them back out. Bring us a real Air Bud movie.
Bring us a real Air Bud 2016, says Pete.
Not that I'm condoning killing dogs, but
yeah,
it would make for a compelling story, that's for sure.
No, not what we're going for.
All right, it is time for Guess the Player. I've got it.
All right, Brian.
Let's see if you guys can.
You got it last week. Let's see if we can.
Yeah, I got lucky last week. Let's see if we can go two in a row here. This quarterback threw for over 4,000 yards and 31 touchdowns last season. He played at East Mississippi Community College and led them to a national title. And he had originally committed to Clemson. Who is the quarterback?
Chad Kelly.
Bang.
Let's go.
Wow.
Very topical because of the Last Chance U on Netflix.
And that is the only reason why I got it.
He is looking to have another awesome year this year, leading Ole Miss. In the college football podcast that we will be posting, hopefully within the hour, maybe a little later, check it out. Brian Fox and I discuss, and Chad Kelly is featured in the discussion.
In our initial college football kickoff show, Jeff Hager and Alden Bennett also commented on Chad Kelly. So yep. There are big expectations for Chad Kelly this year. I like Ole Miss coming out of the SEC. They got a lot of work to do if they want to beat, you know, Bama, LSU, and some of those other top dogs. But it would be a great story for college football and just for underdogs in general if Chad Kelly and the Rebels can come out of the SEC and, you know, make a run, make some noise.
Yeah, we will see. College football season kicks off Thursday night. Thank God. It's time. Celeb tweets. Who would like to go first here?
I'll go first here. All right. So again, I didn't do a tweet. I did a Instagram video or some video that TMZ posted.
Classic.
Earlier this week, musical legend Stevie Wonder, getting up there in age.
Yep.
There's a video posted of him online at the Anthony Anderson basketball camp or some kind of hoops contest with Anthony Anderson, dad on Black-ish. And they had Stevie Wonder, blind man.
Supposedly.
Shoot a free throw.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. Did you see how badly he missed that shot?
That is the fakest shot I've ever seen
you
in my life.
You think he's faking?
Oh, yeah.
You're really telling me Stevie Wonder isn't blind?
Even if you were blind, you should know how to shoot a basketball. It's not that difficult. You can put your hands properly on the ball and make a motion. You don't, like, flail your limbs as if you have no idea what you're doing.
Brian, I don't think anyone ever took the time to teach Stevie Wonder, you know, beef.
You know? Balance, so, eyes, elbow,
I don't think
through.
Someone was standing there in a gym with Stevie Wonder when he was 10 years old teaching him how to shoot. So I'm going to give Stevie credit on this one.
No.
And I'm going to stick to the fact that I'm pretty sure the man is blind.
And what gives any credence to this conspiracy that he is not blind?
They're just...
Did you see him drive a car?
No.
They put him in an open parking lot and he still almost crashed.
That's it. I mean, cover your eyes and try and drive a car.
Dude, that's his own safety. He was just wearing sunglasses.
you know, he knows they're not going to let him crash. I don't know. I'm very on board with that. The whole conspiracy theory. Well, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I'm a common sense, connect the dots kind of guy.
Mm.
And I just feel like there's so many situations where Stevie Wonder should be hurt or injured, and he miraculously gets through them without any issues.
Well, I mean, there's one case that he does sit courtside at basketball games. And yeah. I don't see a reason for him to be doing that. So he
can hear better? I don't know.
He's just taking a valuable seat from someone who can actually see the game. But I love Stevie Wonder. I love his music. And I do think he's blind.
Great music.
He's I believe not him with all my heart. Do you think his stupid neck motion when he sings, you think if he could see himself doing that, he would still do it?
He does it because people think he's blind.
Oh, my God.
That's why he does it. It plays into the act.
All right. Agree to disagree, Brian.
Yeah. John, what's your tweet?
Moving on. My tweet is actually regarding the Ezekiel Elliott situation. In which video showed him visiting a medical marijuana dispensary just hours before a preseason game. So perhaps the Cowboys have more issues than just their quarterback situation. But this one is actually Charles Barkley's take on Ezekiel Elliott.
Charles.
Oh, my God. And
Charles just goes, marijuana just made me want to eat potato chips.
I don't think he needed marijuana to want to eat potato chips.
No. I don't think so. But Chuck.
The round mound of rebound did not need anything to make him want to eat potato chips.
This is stuffing down churros. This is what makes freedom of expression so great, is that we have Charles Barkley always giving his takes on everything.
This whole segment is fueled by that.
Pretty much. I would say, you know, we're generally inspired by Charles Barkley. Not necessarily his views, but his freedom of expression.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Charles Barkley.
Hopefully, we'll get him hopefully on soon. We'll get him on soon. All right. My tweet is not from a person, but it's from the Sports Illustrated College Hoops page, which is verified. So they're capital J journalists. And the question they posed, based their link to an article, is, can Edmund Sumner make a big leap for Villanova this year? Anyone who's not really a college basketball or Big East fan probably says, okay, what's the big deal? Well, first, Edmund Sumner plays for Xavier. Second off, there's a picture below the tweet of Edmund Sumner in a Xavier jersey. This is just blatant disrespect yet again to the Big East, which houses the national championship currently, might I add. Consistently, they are considered a non-power conference. Consistently, they are called half of what they used to be, a broken conference, a mid-major at best. This is pure disrespect, and I take full offense because of my deep roots in the Big East.
Somebody's bitter.
You don't have to be bitter when your team is the last one to beat the national champs.
Right.
You know what? I would imagine this is a lot how Stevie Wonder feels about people who don't think he's blind. Disrespect.
Well, then I know how he feels then.
So you can identify. I think it's time for our intern stats.
Let's get some stats in here. John,
I want to hear yours. So I have a few random ones this week, because I wanted to just throw out some random knowledge. So, it would take about 3,450 trees to offset the annual carbon footprint of the average U.S. household. Number two, J.J. Watt's great-grandma just turned 99 years old yesterday.
Hey, J.J.
Hey, J.J.
Some people don't have their grandparents. Isn't that kind of inconsiderate of you?
Like me.
And finally, Mo Williams, who is rumored to be retiring soon, owns the Minnesota Timberwolves franchise record
51 for most points, right?
Points in a game. Close, Pete. 52.
Oh, yeah. 52. And that is honestly one of the most impressive 50-point games of all time, because I think only three of his field goal attempts were within like 15 feet of the hoop.
So they were all long balls.
He was just unconscious from outside.
Really? So Mo Williams.
Mo Money, Mo Williams.
If this is it for you, we'll always remember.
Yeah, we will not forget.
But yeah, what are you doing bringing up J.J. Watt in this, John?
His great-grandma turned 99 yesterday. How can you not like that?
Oh, man. All right, moving on, Brian.
All right, mine is a baseball statistic. This Twitter page is just chock full of them, so it's easy to do. Chris Bryant this season and Jake Arrieta starts, which is 24 games, is hitting .439 with 28 runs scored, 11 homers, 35 RBI, and 10 walks. He will be the NL MVP. There's an article or a blog post written on the blog. You can check it out, letmebefrankblog.com. And it's dead on. Chris Bryant's going to win the MVP. He's unconscious right now as of the last few weeks. Did it to your Doyers the other night.
Yeah.
Hey, we won clutch. The series and should have swept if it wasn't for Carlos Ruiz.
It shoulda is still a shoulda. Cubs don't even need those games. It's all for show now. It's, what, 15.5 game lead in the division.
Right,
so
around there, yeah.
And as a Sox fan, but I'm still actually kind of rooting for the Cubs to get 100 wins because I have a buddy who decided to bet four of my other friends $100 a piece that the Cubs would not get 200 wins this season.
Well, let's go Cubs.
Yeah, so let's go Cubs.
Let's go Cubs. Hopefully your friend – actually, let's hope he does listen to this show.
Yeah. Hey, Joe.
All right. And we're going to finish it up. Oh, wait, did you do your stat, Pete?
Oh, actually, no, I haven't.
I tried to jump the gun there. I tried to get you out of
overlooked
here.
Overlooked as the White Sox are. So my intern stat, Chicago great Michael Jordan, now current owner of the Charlotte Hornets or Bobcats or the Hornets.
Cats.
Hornets, yeah, but go Cats. They'll always be the Cats to me. In his career, his lowest playoff points per game average was 29.3. Can you guys guess what year that was?
I will say 1991.
I was going to say 92.
It was his rookie year. 1984, I want to say.
Wow. He averaged over 29.
29.3 in his rookie year.
Wow.
And never lower than that.
That was a weak Bulls team, too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's yeah. pretty good.
Astute observation there, Brian.
I don't know what else to say other than I'm just being frank with
yeah,
you. That's
MJ's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a great player, terrible person.
Somewhat shitty person. I won't give him 10.
Oh, come on. All right. Now we will go to what we are looking forward to this weekend. John, I'm going to open it up with you. What are you looking forward to this
Obviously,
weekend?
I could not be more hyped on college football season. It's finally back. I'm going to annoy some of you, but I'm going to bring out the Notre Dame fan in me because Notre Dame, Texas, in Austin, Sunday night primetime, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. They moved the game from Saturday to Sunday because it would be the only game shown during primetime. NFL doesn't start yet, so it's going to be a big one on Sunday night. As much as I hate to say it, I think this is going to be a tough one for the Irish. They're going to struggle sometimes on both sides of the ball. I could, and I hate to say it, I could see them letting this one slip away, but I'm predicting that they're going to win 26-22. It's going to be a weird score in a sloppy win.
That's so such a Chris Berman prediction right there.
The Swami says 26-22 for the Irish over Texas this weekend.
It's going to be interesting. Pete's throwing up the horns. I'm also going Notre Dame, but I'm going 35-17. I don't think Texas is that good. I also think that Notre Dame is still good enough to win. Pete, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
It's not this weekend. It is next week. The BMW Championship starts at Crooked Stick in Indianapolis. And as a former caddy and Evan Scholar alumni, I have the opportunity to caddy in the Celebrity Pro-Am that's coming up next Wednesday. So I'm going to get to caddy. I don't know who I'm caddying for yet. Could be...
Get him as a guest.
Could be Hyde. Yeah, I'll get him as a guest. Could be Hyde. Could be Carlton from Fresh Prince. Could be the second dude from a Home Improvement, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Al?
Yeah, Al. Yeah. Al from Home Improvement.
I really hope it's Al.
Miss America.
I hope it's David Wallace.
Or David Wallace from The Office.
Would be great as well.
There are plenty of opportunities. I really hope I don't get saddled with someone I have no idea who it is. And the main character, Mike from Friday Night Lights. Mike,
I know who you're talking about. Mitchell?
Yeah, or Winchell.
Winchell, yeah, Mike Winchell, that's his
name. The actor who played him will be there as well.
Pete,
so.
You need to research every single one of these celebrities. You can't not know anything
to.
About them.
I'm going to freak them all out.
No matter who they are, they need to come on the show.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to know that they'll be on the show. I'll just have my recorder on.
Yeah, there you go. Just ask them some questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
See what they say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I am looking forward to college football as well. It has been a long, long, boring summer without it. Thankfully, we had the Olympics for a little bit, but I know some people don't enjoy them as much as I do. So college football is back, and Saturday I'm going to be sitting on my ass all day watching football from 11 to pretty much 11. Oklahoma-Houston, though, 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time is the game I'm looking forward to. Big ramifications all around, because if Houston wins this one, they can run the table and go undefeated and maybe make the playoff. If Oklahoma wins it, Houston's pretty much done for the year, and Oklahoma is riding high into a really tough rest of their schedule. Baker Mayfield versus Greg Ward Jr., two of the best quarterbacks in the country. It's going to be fun.
There will definitely be some fireworks. Big Big 12 matchup. Should be fun. You're right, Brian. There's a lot of consequences for how this one plays out, especially with how we see the Final Four shaping up in the playoff at the end of the year. Overall, it's going to be a great weekend. Football is finally back.
U of I powerhouse football season starts this year. It starts this Saturday. Lovie will bring us to the promised land.
I'm going on a limb, and I'm saying Murray State beats Illinois to open the season.
That's your upset pick?
That's my upset pick.
Disrespect.
All right, just remember, letmebefrankblog.com. Check it out. We will have blog posts up. And we are excited for the football season to start. We'll talk to you on the other side and have a great week.
See you, friends. She can say in her voice, in her way, that she loves me.